The Christian Smile. I thought that was a very appropriate video for partway through a series on mental health. Because, in all seriousness, how many people show up to church and feel the pressure to put on a Christian smile? And to fake like they have it all together. And they're okay.
And they attend a service, and they
put on their smile, and then they leave. And no one really knows what's going on. And that's not what I want to see happen at the 9 Alliance Church. I want this to be a place where people can come and be authentic and be who they are, talk about what's really going on in their lives. Last week we talked about depression. This week we are talking about anxiety. And 2017 was a year of quite some anxiety for me. We left everything we knew. Yeah, that's Katie being Katie. This is our last moments at our house before we left Alberta, our friends, our church, our jobs, everything, and came here. And of course, the questions in my mind started to roll. What if this denial thing doesn't work out? What if I find that the church is difficult? Know what I mean? What if they find me difficult? What if they think I'm a loon? What if they end up being a bunch of loons? All kinds of questions. And that is what anxiety is. It's fear projected to the future. And I'm sure we've all had the opportunity to do that. And maybe some of us in this room suffer from a lack of sleep. Anyone in here struggle with sleep? Okay, so you're going to really relate to this story. There was a guy who was struggling with sleeping, and so he went to see a psychologist. And the psychologist said, well, why are you having trouble sleeping? And the man said, well, I'm trying to solve the world's problems. Sound familiar? So the psychologist asked, well, do you ever solve them? The guy said, almost every time. He said, so what's the problem? Why aren't you sleeping? And he thought about it, and he said, I think it's all those ticker tape parades they put on in my honor that keep me awake at night. Anxiety is about playing the what-if game. The maybes, the mites. We have, those of us who struggle with anxiety have incredible imaginations. We can imagine the worst-case scenario of almost everything. Anxiety is an emotional reaction involving tension and discomfort. It's an attempt to control circumstances and people. That's what anxiety is. It's an attempt to control the future. Some mistake anxiety as a mental weakness or instability, and there's a stigma around it, and that's why a lot of people don't feel free to talk about it, which is really too bad. Anxiety can strike any age, any economic group, males, females. Anxiety can strike anywhere. And I think, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to do a series on mental health is for all the people in our church and who will listen to this online, I wanted them to know that even when you're struggling with mental health, God still loves you. God loves you a lot. And he cares about you, and he thinks about you. And he's on your side. And if you're struggling with anxiety this morning, you are not a bad Christian. Did you hear what I said, church? You are not a bad Christian if you're struggling with anxiety. Now, there are some common anxiety disorders, and I want to go through them so you get a sense of what I'm talking about when I'm talking about anxiety. You might be familiar with some of these. The first one is panic. This is a feeling of being completely overwhelmed. In fact, you can feel like you're dying. If you've ever had a panic attack, then you will really relate to Alyssa Milano's story. Now, I am old enough to know Alyssa Milano from a show called Who's the Boss? That's how old I am. But if you're under 30, you might know her more from a show called Charmed. But she had, a few years ago, in 2011, 2 years prior to that, in 2009, she had a miscarriage. In 2011, she had her first child, and this is her words. This is her experience of having a panic attack. She said, "That first night after we returned from the hospital, I suffered my first anxiety attack. I felt like I had already disappointed my child. I felt like I had failed as a mother since I was not able to give birth naturally or nourish him with the breast milk that had not come in yet. My heart raced, my stomach seized up, I felt like I was dying." Very common symptoms in a panic attack. But there are other anxiety disorders. The second one is general phobias. These are irrational fears. Some of us may have these. Spiders, anyone? Yeah, mice, snakes, the outdoors, all kinds of things. And it's not based on anything logical. It's completely irrational, but it can create a tremendous anxiety. Another one is the social phobias. And this can result in a fear of public speaking, like what I'm doing right now. And it has to do with an exaggerated fear of embarrassment. And over the 20 years I've been a pastor, I've had to learn to just embrace the embarrassment. My family will be the first one to tell me all the things that I said wrong on a Sunday morning. Happy Father's Day to me. Social phobias can also keep us from using public washrooms or keep us actually indoors. Another one is post-traumatic stress disorder. This is a very specific thing. You've probably heard about this in the news many times. This comes from an event where the reaction was terror. And it can be all kinds of different events, and it can be all kinds of different degrees, but it results in a tremendous sense of anxiety. Especially in that event, if you felt you had no control. Finally, and this is the one we're going to be really focusing on this morning, which is generalized anxiety. This is the most common form of anxiety. And it can be caused from all kinds of different things, but one of them can be our family of origin. And a good example of this would be Ryan Reynolds. Handsome guy, yeah? Very famous guy, struggles with anxiety. And he brings it back to his family of origin. He grew up just across the Strait of Georgia in Vancouver as the youngest of four. And he said his dad, Jim, was, and I quote, "the stress dispensary in our house." And in order to head off his dad blowing up as a little kid, he would learn to make sure the house was perfectly in order. Mow the lawn, do the dishes, clean up, whatever it took to make sure that his dad didn't blow up when he got home. Imagine living with that. And some of you can relate to that because you grew up in a home just like that. Well, imagine the sense of wanting to control the future. And that's what anxiety is. I want to control the future. So this is what he said. He said, "I became this young, skin-covered micromanager. When you stress out kids, there's a weird paradox that happens because they're suddenly taking on things that aren't theirs to take on. And as a result," he said, "I have anxiety. I've always had anxiety." And in the same interview, he said, "Every time he goes on a talk show, he wants to throw up." This is a famous guy. Movies, all kinds of stuff. Terribly, terribly anxious. Now, you might be sitting there going, "All right, so what? So people get nerves. I get it. They worry. I got it. Sure." Let me tell you about some of the consequences to anxiety that there are. And it runs deeper than you might think. The effects of anxiety, there's the social effect. Did you know that 20 to 25% of hospital psychiatric ward admissions are due to anxiety, due to worry? Then there's the physical effects, and some of us might be very familiar with these. Things like chest pain, heart palpitations, shortness of breath, dizziness, stomach discomfort, feeling of unreality and fear of dying. And those two things we probably have heard. Those two things we probably understand. But in studying this, I found out that the effects of anxiety run deeper than that. And they hurt us personally, and they hurt people around us. If you have anxiety and you are trying to control the world around you desperately, then you cannot be yourself. And that hurts us relationally. Imagine being married to someone who is so terrified, so worried about being themselves, that they put on a false front and they never really tell you what they're thinking. Some of us may be in a marriage like that right now. And so the anxious person becomes a chameleon. And they're even afraid to care about people deeply, because they're afraid, what if I get hurt? So in order to save themselves from that future hurt, they block themselves off and say, I'm not going to care deeply. I'm not going to put myself out there. And for everyone else, they won't be themselves, because they think, if they only knew, they only knew the real me, they wouldn't love me. So I have to be this person over here. So relationally, they just have very thin relationships. It goes even deeper than that. To personally, people who struggle with anxiety have a hard time growing as individuals. Because in order to grow as individuals, we have to try something new. But if you're trying to control the future, you don't want to try something new. You want to keep doing what you've always done because it's safe, it's comfortable. So we end up stuck. So how do you get peace? How do you get peace? What I'm about to tell you, you're not going to believe. It is going to sound so outrageous, you're going to think that I just lost it. But here it comes. Peace comes with practice. Peace comes with practice. And this passage that we're going to be looking at this morning talks about how we can actually practice peace. Are you ready for this? This could change your life. It changes my life on a regular basis. So I'm excited to share this with you. And we start off with this. This is in Philippians 4. Here we go. Starts off by saying, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Now, whoa, we have got to unpack this. Did you catch the first four words? Don't worry about anything. And if you struggle with anxiety, your first reaction is going to be, right. Don't worry about anything. Okay. Mission Impossible time. Here we go. And yet the Bible never tells us to do something that's impossible. Don't worry about anything. So what does He tell us to do? He's going to give us three simple steps to practicing peace. Now, they're three simple steps, but they are not easy steps. Okay? Are you ready for them? First one is this. Pray sooner. Notice what he says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. The problem is we often wait to pray about things, don't we? Something will happen and we start worrying about it and it stews. You know, it's like a good steak that's marinating. It's just soaking up all that worry. And the pictures get more vivid in our minds. They get worse as time goes on. And then once it's developed into this huge monster, then we go, oh, right, I'm supposed to pray about this, right? Paul's saying, as soon as it comes up, pray right away. Do it. Pray about it. One of the things that I have found that makes prayer really effective is honesty. I have not found a lot of people who pray honestly. When I do, I know they have a real relationship with God. When I read through the pages of the Bible, especially the Psalms are great. There are some brutally honest prayers in there. I mean, complaints about God. Why are you letting this happen? Why are you letting that happen? What's wrong? Don't you care? That's an honest prayer. That's a prayer I can live in. And that's the kind of prayer that is being talked about right here. An honest prayer. Not a Christian smile kind of prayer. Because sometimes we try to fool God. We're actually trying to control God. It's like he doesn't know about our anxiety, so if we don't tell him, he's not going to know. Right? How crazy is that? Of course he knows. Praying honestly gives a voice to our fears and diminishes its power. It's one of the things that I love about the Bible. It's just so honest. I can relate to the people in there who are complaining sometimes. Can't you? Yeah. So what does it look like on a practical level to pray sooner? Well, let's say you're driving down the road and your car breaks down and you have to get it towed, and already the anxiety is right up there. And then the mechanic tells you it's going to be $500. Now, if $500 isn't much to you, think $5,000. Okay, whatever's comfortable for you. Or in this case, whatever's uncomfortable for you. And you can feel that anxiety building up. What I'm talking about, when it says pray about everything, it would look like this. God, I am freaking out. I'm really worried about this. I don't have this kind of money. I don't know what I'm going to do. Would you please help me in this situation? You'll notice it doesn't say pray to get out of everything. It says pray about everything. The second step, and it's right in there, in the same passage, is trust in advance. It says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. What? He hasn't done anything yet. Oh, yes, he has. Because the moment we pray about something, God's already responding to it. God doesn't take a lot of time to think. He's not like us. He doesn't need to process things. You know, he responds immediately. So he's already doing something about your prayer. But here's the thing about this particular prayer. How can you be thankful? It implies trust. And it's saying this. Go back to the car scenario. It's saying, God, if you drop five crisp $100 bills out of the sky, or if I have to get a second job to pay for this, I trust you. I trust you know what's best for me. And whatever you have decided, I'm good with. Because I know you have my back. And I know you love me. That's a powerful, powerful response to anxiety. So what if we did all this? What if we did those two things? We prayed sooner and we trusted in advance. What would be the result? Here it comes. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This is a supernatural peace. This is the peace of God. If we pray sooner and we trust in advance, God will grant us a peace that does not make sense. It will be illogical. Isn't that marvelous? It's a supernatural peace. But if we wait too long, like I said, we've already built this thing up until it's huge. See, peace comes with practice. Now, I need to go off highway here for a second. Let's take a little detour. You ready? Are you ready for a detour? Okay. Because there's something I need to cover in this message that's a bit of a side trip. And it goes like this. Some of us in this room are familiar with the fact that when people become followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside us. And the Holy Spirit opens up some doors wide open to some pretty incredible things in our lives. This is what it says. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace. There it is. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But you'll notice it's one fruit. They're all together. They function as a unit. The problem is, sometimes we're not very good at seeing what peace looks like. Some of us live with people who are rather stoic. You know what I mean by stoic? Stoic is this. They have basically the same reaction for when they get a raise, and when their dog dies, and when they stub their toe, and when they walk their daughter down the aisle. It's the same reaction. Flat line. You know anyone like that? And we think, isn't that marvelous? My, what peace they have. Stoicism is not necessarily peace. You may know someone who's stoic, but they can't be kind and save their lives. They can't be gentle. The fruit of the Spirit, if it's genuine, all of those things grow together. And you see an entire change in the person. So do not mistake stoicism with peace. Now, that was our side trip. Let's get back on Island Highway. We're to pray sooner, trust in advance. Now, those are the reactionary things. So if you have a thought that's anxious or something happens in your life that causes some anxiety, that's the first thing you do. Pray sooner, trust in advance. Okay, everyone's got that? That's like the anxiety first aid kit. All right? But Paul's not going to leave us with that. Paul is going to give us some preventative medicine. He's going to give us the daily vitamin and how to prevent anxiety in the future. Are you ready for your daily vitamin? Here it comes. Number 3, think purposefully. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Anxiety is a habit. Habits can't just be gotten rid of. They have to be replaced. And he's saying replace them with this. Think purposefully. Be aware of what's going on in your mind. Anxiety is a feeling. Feelings come from thoughts. And here's the good news. You control your thoughts. You can actually stop thinking about certain things. You can think about better things. Things that are true and honorable and right and so on down the list. Things that are positive. You know, humans are funny beings, aren't we? We understand that superior athletes don't come out of their mother's wombs with a resting heart rate of 42 and 20-inch muscular biceps. We understand this. We understand that this takes conditioning. We understand they're not born like that. They have to eat the right foods. They have to work out regularly. They have to get plenty of rest. All of this makes sense to us. And the fact that the rest of us don't look like that is because we've been having too much time with our feet up eating chips and microwave burritos. We understand that. It's not a mystery to us. But then when we see someone with incredible peace, we think, wow, they are so lucky. Don't we? Boy, I sure wish I could be like them. This passage is saying peace comes from practice. It comes from conditioning. Conditioning about how we respond to anxiety in our lives. And then you take your daily vitamin of fixing your thoughts on things that are pure and honorable and right and trustworthy and all that good stuff. Isn't that neat? What good news. Now I understand that we're talking about generalized anxiety. Okay? And people who suffer with PTSD or some other thing, they're going to need some extra help. And I get that. And in the end, I still think they'll still use some of the same tools, but they'll probably need extra tools on top of that. Peace is more difficult for some than others. Just as I know, in going back to the workout scenario, I will never look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
There you go.
I have a deficit there. What? Oh, was that Andrew? What was that Andrew?
A little Danny DeVito.
Oh. Oh. Man, did you get that on the internet for all the world to hear? I'm more like Danny DeVito than Arnold Schwarzenegger. Thank you so much to my loving church family for all the affirmation on Father's Day. Just so you know, Andrew has a box in the entrance. You can put little comments and cards in there. Oh, feel the love. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but my thoughts go all over the place. Sometimes I have these great positive thoughts, and sometimes I have really anxious thoughts. And I have found that applying just this little passage has been so helpful for me to realize I don't have to be anxious. That I can actually control my thoughts. With God's help, I can keep coming back to things that are lovely and pure and admirable and excellent. But we have been talking about anxiety coming from listening to your heart. And as Pastor Tim Keller has said, anxiety comes from listening to your heart. Peace comes from talking to your heart. And there's a great example of this in the Bible. In Psalm 42:5, it says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Who is the writer talking to? Himself. He's addressing the inner dialogue going on. He says, "Oh, my soul, why are you down? Why are you so worried? What's going on in there? Put your trust in God. He's trustworthy." It's just addressing that inner dialogue. You can actually control your thinking with God's help. Isn't that something? Now, we have been talking about the peace of God. But the peace of God really comes alongside of peace with God. And some of us in this room have not made peace with God yet. And until we make peace with God, we will not experience the peace of God. And so I encourage you, if you have not received Jesus as your Savior and your King, you can do that right now, right where you're sitting. You can say, "God, I know that I have sinned. I know that I need you." And you can put your life in his hands. And if you're in that spot, you can do that right now. You can make peace with God so you can experience the peace of God. And if you do that this morning, I'd encourage you to come on up after the service. There'll be someone here to talk with, someone that you can pray with. My friends, peace comes with practice. I want you to know that anxiety, listen up, I want everyone to hear this. Anxiety is not God's plan for you. It's not his will for you. He wants more for you. He loves you too much to let you stay in that anxious state. He wants you to experience his peace. And in a moment, Anna's going to play a song that is such an honest song. It's a song of pouring out their heart to God. But that's what I want our prayer lives to be. This morning, I want to take the opportunity to practice what we've just talked about. So bow your head, close your eyes for just a moment. I want you to think about something in your life that is excellent. Something in your life that is pure. Something admirable. Do you have it? Is it there? I want you to thank God for that thing. Maybe it's God himself, who certainly fits all these categories of being true and honorable and right and pure. Because this is our daily vitamin. Anti-anxiety medicine. To think about things that are good, lovely, admirable, and excellent. Lord, thank you for giving us this passage that addresses how we can respond when our thoughts go all over the place. We all know they do. Lord, continue to remind us of what we learned this morning. Help us to pray sooner, to trust in advance,